Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
We're going to jump in here. I know we have a few families away, including half the pastoral staff. I know some of the people have been able to get away, and they're away today being able to visit with their dads in other locations, which is awesome. We're just thankful they're able to do that. And then Pastor Barry actually had got the opportunity to take a Convoy of Hope team down to Puerto Rico this week. So he is down in Puerto Rico with a Convoy of Hope team. And so we just bless that, and we just pray for him today. I'm sure he's probably speaking someplace today down there, probably with an interpreter. So just pray for that team while they're down there. But I wanted it when Pastor Barry had asked me a few weeks ago about speaking today, and knowing that it was going to be Father's Day, I had that time had been kind of studying in Genesis and reading in Genesis anyway. So what I'm going to speak about today is out of that. But the name of the title and message is A Living Example. And when I started thinking about Father's Day, not just for Father's Day, but really for moms, dads, grandparents, and really anybody, even if you don't have kids of your own or grandkids of your own, each of us are a living example in some way or the other, for good or bad, we are a living example. And so I thought I'd start out by just a couple of quick, lighthearted stories about how our kids sometimes repeat what we say, or how they kind of take things in that we have said as parents. But one of them that came to mind when I was thinking about just different stories of, we'd had a friend of ours that they had a van, and they used to travel back and forth from this area down to Lake of the Ozarks pretty regularly. Their oldest two boys were around 6 and 8 years old. And there, one of the times they were traveling, the mom was sharing this story with me, and she said, all of a sudden, dad's driving, and all of a sudden, someone cut him off, and he yelled out, "You clown!" And of course, he wasn't happy, and so he yells out, "Though, you clown!" And she said, immediately, the boys that were around 6 and 8 at the time, they both jump up. They're so excited. They're running to the windows, and they're like, "Where's the clown? Where's the clown, Dad?" So she said, "You know what? I'm going to let you explain about the clown from that." And then when our son, when Rick and I, when our boys were pretty little, or older two were pretty little, we had bought a Ford Bronco. And at the time, I think it was only about 4 years old when we purchased it. But within a year of us having it, it had a gray silver paint at the time. And the paint started chipping on it. And where the paint was chipping, by the time it was like 5 years old, it looked, and what Rick would comment often as we were getting into it, he's like, "Man, this thing looks like a piece of junk." And, it was only about 5 years old at the time, but he would make that comment occasionally. So now fast forward, our oldest son was only about 3 years old, and we were getting ready to leave one time. And all of a sudden, we were like, "Okay, Stephen, we're going to go bye-bye." And he was around three. And he said, "Were we taking the van, or are we taking the piece of junk truck?" And I said, isn't it funny, though, how when we hear things that we say, it just sounds like we're just, but somehow when it comes out of a little person's mouth, repeated, they're little parrots, and they repeat what we say. It's not just, they don't not only pick up what we say, but they kind of pick up the attitude in which we say things as well. So it kind of wakes us up sometimes when we hear them repeat things or words or phrases that we have said. But to jump into where I had been reading in Genesis, like I said, just kind of worked out when Pastor Barry had asked me about speaking, and it was, he said, it's going to be Father's Day. And he said, "But you can speak," he always gives us tons of grace and freedom on, he said, "but speak about whatever, God lays on your heart." Well, since I was already studying in Genesis, immediately I thought about speaking on Abraham. So I'm going to jump in, and you know what, and I'm actually, I always throw the team off there. I'm actually going to start, my first reading is going to be in Genesis 17, 1 through 5. But the story of Abraham actually starts back in chapter 12 in Genesis, and at that point, Abraham was around 75 years old when he first really starts to, really comes to light in scripture here. But starting in verse 17, verses 1 through 5, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, and at this point, Abraham was, his name was Abram up through this point. So up and through him at this, until the scriptures I'm going to read here, his name had been Abram. So when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made your father of many nations. So I'm going to jump down because at this point, he's telling him he's going to be a father of many nations. But at this point, him and Sarah had still not had a child together. And so Abraham was kind of questioning God about that. So in verse 17, still in chapter 17 there, it says, Abram fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, and I love this when the scripture does this. Ever throughout the Bible, you see where it says, he thought to himself. I love that it's recorded sometimes thoughts, not just what people said out loud. But it says, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at an age of 90? And God went on to say, yes, you will. You and Sarah will bear a child, and you will call him Isaac. And then for the scriptures that I really wanted to dive into as far as taking a message out of this text today was starting in Genesis 22, verse 1. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here am I, he replied. And I always read when I'm studying, even just on my own, I love looking at different versions of the Bible to see what different things say. And when I heard, you know, and I'm sure this was very common language for them back, you know, a couple thousand years ago, just be like, yeah, here am I. But it, for me, it sounded like, you know, kind of like when school was taking attendance, you know, they keep saying the names, you know, Mary Ellen, Bernie, and they're like, yeah, here, you know, it's just kind of acknowledgement. Yeah, I'm here. Doesn't mean they're necessarily listening. So I appreciated when I looked this up in the Message Bible, instead of saying, here am I, it actually says, yes, I'm listening. And I like that point, that the fact that we knew that God had Abraham's attention. It says, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain. I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. You know, I hadn't, until I was studying this again, I'd forgot that the distance was about 50 miles that they traveled during those 3 days. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But an angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And again, Abraham said, here am I. Or he said, I am listening. He said, do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. So And then it goes on to say that Abram looked up, and there in the thickets he saw a ram that they were able to use for the burnt offering. So I wanted to just take a few lessons there out of, I know it's a little lengthy as far as with scriptures, but for the life of Abraham, and it continues on through around Genesis 25 that the story of Abraham does. But one of the things to take away from that was faith. And when I looked up, I always like looking up, even within the Bible, looking up in the dictionary there to see what it says for defining faith. And it said complete trust in someone or something. And Abraham demonstrated that throughout his life. Not perfectly, but he absolutely demonstrated that. And if you study on through Genesis, you know that Abraham then went on to have his son Isaac. Isaac went on to have a couple of sons, Esau and Jacob. But we know for the bloodline that the promises that were fulfilled was done through Jacob. In Hebrews chapter 11, it actually, that title, I'm not going to go there today, but in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about faith in action. And I think that's so often, we talk about love, you talk about faith, these are more action words than they are just descriptive type of words. And in that, the faith in action, they list several men and women in that chapter that talk about what the things they did by faith. And three of the people that are listed in there is, when you think about it, so you go back to Jacob. Jacob's dad was Isaac, and then his grandpa was Abraham. So when we start thinking about that as far as just the genealogy of that, but what they say is so miraculous about those people of faith that Abraham did these things by faith and that Isaac did these things by faith, and it talks about Moses and Joseph and others in the Bible that they did these things by faith. At the end of that, what it talks about is they did all these things by faith with never getting to see the promise fulfilled during their lifetime. So they did these things with a purpose. And it just reminded me so much as we are living examples, each of you that are in here, whether it's to a child or, a niece or a nephew or your own child or grandchild, that, you know, we've got a purpose. We don't know if that purpose that we're living out today is for today or if it's during our lifetime, but we can be impactful to our generations that are going to come after us, that we might not ever get to see the promises or things that God has laid on our heart, but it still doesn't take away that we're supposed to still continue to move forward and in faith. And then the next thing that I had written down here was trust. And trust, the definition that I had seen here was to place one's confidence in. If you remember faith, it said complete trust in someone or something. And then for trust, to place one's confidence in. And again, not that these men, you can look at any story in the Bible, and it does a really good job of letting you know that nobody was perfect in there. It shows you their great strengths, but it also shows you, and I know it really leads in well for if any of you were here last week with Pastor Barry's message, but I wanted to share in my Life Application Bible, it a lot of times breaks down stories of individuals, and this was the one actually on Jacob. So again, there's Jacob, his dad was Isaac, grandpa, Abraham. But it says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are among the most significant people in the Old Testament. It is important to realize that this significance is not based upon their personal character, but upon the character of God. So it's not based upon who they were, it's based upon who God was in them. So for each of us, no matter how imperfect we are, it doesn't matter how strong or how weak, what our gifts are or not, what it matters is our availability to allow God to show up and do mighty things through us. It says, they were all men who earned the grudging respect and even fear of their peers. They were wealthy and powerful, and yet each was capable of lying, deceit, and selfishness. They were not the perfect heroes we might have expected. Instead, they were just like you and me. They were just like us, trying to please God, but often falling short. So I just appreciated that, and it just went along so well with what Pastor Barry had just shared with us last week. And we always tease about the fact that as I was already starting to prepare this before I knew what he was going to speak about last week, and then just to see how God just tied him in so well. The next thing he was talking about is obedience. And We see in Abraham that he showed that obedience. Like I said, not always perfectly, but as he got older, he got quicker at being obedient. And that's something I think a lot of us struggle with. And the definition it said here for our obedience is submissiveness to authority, following orders. I think as a society today, we actually really struggle with that. I hear it all the time on the news, and you know, I can only imagine in the schools today, you know, people struggle with authority. They struggle with, you can't tell me what to do. You're not, you know, I love it that whether at school they're like, well, you're not my mom or you're my dad, but then at home they're not any more respectful than they are, you know, when they're at school. So it's like, we really struggle with, and it's not just the kids. Not just the kids. You know, anybody that's in law enforcement knows that there's a lot of people that really struggle with any type. And it's not someone necessarily doing something illegal or wrong. It's in the workplace. It's in the church. It's everywhere where it's just like, no one's going to tell me what to do. And we really struggle with that. And throughout God's word, it's so important for us to understand authority and to fall under that. I, again, in my Bible with the life application part here, it talked about that morning that Abraham headed out with Isaac. It said that that was, that had began one of the greatest acts of obedience ever recorded in history when he took off that morning. And that Bible note there goes on to say, it says, over the years, Abraham had learned many tough lessons about the importance of obeying God. This time, his obedience was prompt and complete. Obeying God is often a struggle because it may mean giving up something we truly want. We should never expect obedience to God to be easy or come naturally. And when I started trying to think of this, how we could relate to this, I had just, I think it was last week or the week before last, I was actually talking to a few ladies out in the foyer here, and we started talking about toddlers and their terrible twos, and talking about how they act and how they already have such a little attitude at such a young age. And, I know even precious little Owen over here, he's only 16 months or so, but I'm telling you, you try to make him do something he doesn't want to do and he'll jerk his head back. He lets you know that he's not interested, that he's not going to do whatever you're asking him to do. But it really made me think of, though, for our middle son, Sean, when he was a toddler, he was out of our three when he was, you know, and terrible twos start before two, right? I mean, at least for my kids, I don't think my kids were extra special in that. I think that was pretty typical. But when he was, you know, I swear after he could say mama, dada, and a couple other words, his next few words was, I do it myself. And it was, he was so determined. And he would take, and he'd be trying to do something like put his socks and shoes on. And, you know, we're watching him, and he's fighting with him. And we'd go over and be like, hon, can I help you? No, I do it myself. And he'd get so determined and now he's in full meltdown mode. And we're like, seriously, if we could just help you so we can go, you know, to be able to. But no, he would just be in full meltdown. Nope, I do it myself. And I had to imagine that sometimes, and none of you have to admit to this, but I will say that I know there's been times where I'm doing the exact same thing as an adult. I'm going and I'm living my day-to-day life and I'm doing things that, you know, making those decisions that I don't feel like socks and shoes is not a life and death situation. Don't have to pray about that, right? So we take those mundane day-to-day decisions that we make and we're just making them and we're like, I don't need God for that one. I've got this one. I don't need God for that. I'm capable. I'm halfway intelligent person. I can make this decision. And we keep making those decisions by ourselves, and we slowly keep getting more and more off course because we keep making those decisions by ourselves, and we're not letting God guide us and be that, you know, guiding that path, and we're not reaching out to Him for those what seem like just everyday decisions. And I can just see, can't you see God up there? You see, a lot of people picture God up there with like whack-a-mole up there going, oh, she just messed up again. Oh, you know, she's doing it wrong. You know, no, I picture God up there just like we were with our kids when they were little going, oh, look at Pam down there. Noah, come here. You're going to want to see this. Jonah, come here. She's trying to do it on her own again. She's taking it into her own hands. And, you know, it's like, oh, bless her heart. She's going to keep trying. I've tried to help her. but she won't let me. She's got to do it by herself, and she just keeps going. And, you know, and God will allow us. I don't think he's up there doing the whack-a-mole thing. I think he's a loving parent up there watching us continue to try to do things on our own and just waiting for us to look to him and look for him to depend on him, no matter how easy or simple it seems to us that we would look to him and go, because there's some times where he's just going to make that, where it's not going to be look the way we think it should look. I'm guilty of, we make a plan, and then we're so frustrated that God won't bless it. Instead of going to him first to get what the plan should be, and then working through that, we work through our frustration of being, well, God, you know, I made this plan, and now I've been praying about it ever since, you know, and I expect you to bless that. But I wanted to just to wrap up here on sharing a couple of stories that I started with a couple of lighthearted stories that of people, things that kids had done, more on the lighthearted side, but wanted to just share a couple of, for people in my life that had impacted me, and one of them would be my mom's mom, my grandmother. And I know her Father's Day, but I'm going to share about with parents and grandparents. And my mom's mom, she was one of these ladies that she was just a get-her-done person. She, at 50 years old, she decided she wanted to start oil painting. So, and she was the type that if she did something, she went full force into it. So she started taking classes, and within a year or two, she was making these beautiful paintings, oil paintings. You know, sometimes people do paintings, and you're like, oh, yeah, family member did that. I had to hang it up, you know, type thing. But these are not. These are beautiful oil paintings that my grandmother did. So at 50, she took up oil painting. At 60, she's like, you know what I want to do? I want to get my pilot's license. And we're all laughing, going, well, that's nice, Grandma. I'm glad you want to get your pilot's license. But she did. By 60 years old, she got her pilot's license. She owned a two-seater plane for a couple of years that she flew around. And I'd love to hear the stories of what she went through and the training she had to go through and some scary stuff that you have to do when you're learning how to fly a plane at 60 years old. And then at 70 years old, she decided she wanted to get a real estate license. And she did. So she got a real estate license at 70, went out. She actually was so good at it. She had owned houses and rental property over the years, and everybody thought she'd been doing real estate for years. So she went out and did just an amazing job. In fact, she was so good at it, after a year and a half, 2 years, she said, I'm not doing that anymore. It's taking up too much of my time. And at like 72, 73, she cracked us up. She came to us one day and she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up to Jack in the Box, and I'm going to tell them that I'm going to do their prep work for them. I'm going to come in at, like, early in the morning. I don't want to work through the lunch rush because that'd be a lot of work, and I don't want to be on my feet that long. But I'm going to go up to Jack in the Box, and I'm going to tell them I'm going to do their prep work for them. I just want to work 2 or 3 hours in the morning and just during the week. And we're all laughing, thinking, you can't just go to a restaurant and tell them what you're going to do and when you're going to do it and everything. Oh, yeah. A couple days later, she's like, yeah, I went up to Jack in the Box. They love the ideal. I'm going to be working at Jack in the Box in the mornings. I'm going to work from 8 to 11, and I'm going to do their food prep. I can work harder than most of those young kids anyway. You know. And we were like, oh, my gosh, only Grandma could do this. And but the biggest factor of all that for my grandmother was she loved God. And she knew God's word. And I remember as she did start to, she actually developed ovarian cancer in her mid to late 70s. And as her mind did start to go, that was one of the things she was so upset about, was she said, you know, I go to church and I hear these Bible stories that I know that I know that I know. And she said, but I can't pull them back up right now. And that was the thing that was so discouraging to her. And I got such a blessing of opportunity after she had been diagnosed with ovarian cancer, but before it had started to affect her in other ways. Her and I got to have just a really long conversation one evening, and I got talking to her and just about all the things she had accomplished during her life. And she said, you know what, out of everything that I can think of, all the places I've got to travel and do, she said, the only regret I have is she had always wanted to go to the Holy Lands, and she wasn't able to ever go to the Holy Lands, because a couple of times she came close to going, there was unrest there, and so she wasn't able to go. So she said, you know, I don't think that's too bad to be in my mid to late 70s at that point, the age she was. I think she was around 76, 77 at the time. But she said, to be able to say that my only regret was never getting to actually go to the Holy Lands. But I look at that so we live by example. Is sometimes that example can come in many forms. But her life itself, how she lived it, us just watching her live that life. I mean, we had interaction with her as well, but how it was impactful for her whole family. And then I'll just share one more here on my dad. And on my dad is, many of you might know this, he actually is a pastor today, but he wasn't always a pastor. He didn't become a pastor until his, I believe 59 was when he actually became the ordained pastor. And he has a small Baptist church in St. Peter's that he leads. But back many years ago, when I was just a little girl, my dad had a situation where he had went to Central Hardware. How many remember Central Hardware? I know it's been a long time ago for Central Hardware. But my dad had went to Central Hardware, which you probably know it by the name, but people under 40 here, it was kind of like a Home Depot or Lowe's of the day. And but my dad had went there, and he didn't tell us at the time, but he had went in and he had given the cashier a $10 bill to pay for his bill, and the cashier accidentally gave him change back for a 20. So my dad, he said he had stepped away and realized what had happened, and then he, you know, returned back and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know you had accidentally gave me, you know, too much money back," and returned their money to him. Now, Dad had not never told us that story until 2 or 3 weeks later we got this letter in the mail. I don't know how they ended up getting his name and address and that, but we got this letter in the mail. It was for Central Hardware, and my dad called us in to read the letter to us, and he said, I'd had this situation, so he told us what had happened, and he said, back 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was in there, and he explained to us what had happened, and he said, I didn't really think that much of it, but he said, I've just gotten this letter, and this letter said, because of your loyalty as a customer and because of your honesty, they said they appreciated that, and they wanted to give him 15% off his next purchase there at Central Hardware. And my dad was just giddy because my mom had just decided to do, I believe it was like a room addition or something, onto the house, and it was going to be several hundred dollars. And, okay, this was like 40 years ago, so $10 was a lot of money at the time that my dad had gave back to them at that. And my dad went on to explain. He said, you know what, at the time, I just knew it was the right thing to do was to give him back. He said, I didn't want the cashier that had checked him out to have his drawer off. That'd be like being off probably like $30 or $40 today. You know, he said, I didn't want him to be off that amount of money. And so my dad said, you know, he just explained that it was just the right thing to do, and he didn't really think anything of it, but he was ecstatic about this letter now he had that was going to save him, you know, a lot more money. And, you know, and he took that as a life lesson for us just to tell us, you know, sometimes it's not always easy to do what seems like the right or the, you know, right thing to do in the moment, and we don't always get to see it like that. And, you know, and my dad even talked about it back then, is we don't always get to see it so immediately like that, where we're blessed many times over than what we, the little bit that, you know, that he had gave back. But I really just want to today just to encourage you, as I studied through the things out of the life of Abraham, but even as each one of us, as we live out that living example of that, is faith and trust, and making sure that your family, your friends, you know, whoever it is, whoever you're around, whoever you have influence with, that they know where your faith and your trust is at, that it's in God's word, and that we are that living example. I am so blessed that, you know, both my mom and dad are Christians, and so I grew up in a Christian home. Rick's mom and dad, who are here, Bob and Naomi, he grew up in a wonderful Christian home. I'm so blessed that not only for my parents, but I've been a part of, we've been family with Bob and Naomi. They've been like a second mom and dad to me for over 35 years. So we're so blessed in that. And even like last night, or Friday night, I actually called my dad, and I still enjoy being able to, he gets a kick out of it when he knows I'm going to speak on a Sunday. So I was talking to him, and I was in the process, I was actually back up at the office just studying and working on my message. And I told my dad, I said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to let you go. We were talking about something else." And I said, "I'm going to let you go because I'm actually working on my message for Sunday." And he said, well, what are you talking about? So I said, well, actually, so I started sharing with him some of my notes and things that I was wanting to talk about. And I love it. And I'm so blessed in the fact that my dad immediately started going, well, you know, now if you're going to talk about Abraham, you might as well then go back and talk about how he became the man that he was. You know, and he was giving me more information than I had even throughout my studies. He was giving me information because my dad loves studying the history of it, not just, love reading God's word, but then it's so nice to be able to sometimes read things around the history of that to learn even deeper. So blessed in that, to have a dad that at this point is a pastor. But I will tell you that he knew the word well before he was ever a pastor. He's not a pastor today, and now he learned the word. He had studied the word and knew the word so well all growing up. I mean, here's what my dad would do. He'd go to church sometimes on Sundays. He wouldn't always go to church with us on Sundays. But here's how he got us to church. He said, you either go to church or you stay home with me and we're going to read and study for the next 3 hours. Like, we're going to church. We're not going to do that. So that was one of the things my dad had done with us when we were younger. It was like, you go to church or you sit with me and we study and read the word for during that time. But even if you were not blessed to have a dad, you know, or a family that you got to grow up in a Christian home, you know, it's never too late to, you get to start. You can read throughout scriptures where people, they got to be that generation. You get to start a new start for your family, for your, even again with family, with friends, whoever you have influence with. So I just challenge you to live that out, to live that life of faith and trust, obedience to God's word, and that we would be that living example no matter where we are. But I'm going to go ahead and close here today in prayer, but Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for all the fathers here today. Father, I just pray that you will be with us. Lord, just remind us, Lord, throughout our day, throughout our week, that we are desperate for you, Father, that we need you in every decision that we make. Father, that we just pray that you will, we thank you. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that you show us when we're not making the decisions that you would have us to do. Father, we just pray that you will be with our church leaders here as we continue to make decisions, as we move forward in the direction that you'd have us to go as a church family as well. Father, we thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if we would go ahead and have the welcome team come up. I do just have a couple of announcements here, too. If by chance, this is our, if first-time visitors, this is actually our welcome sheet here. Please fill that out. It's the only thing we're looking from you for today. So if you are a first-time visitor, we'd love to have you fill that out. But I hope everybody got, Pastor Barry, we had sent out an email this week. And could you all put my slide back up there for just a little bit, my name on it? If you did not get, we sent out an all-church email, and if you did not get that email this week, but you are interested in getting future emails, or even if you'd say, you want to email me and say, hey, I didn't get the email last week, where Pastor Barry gave a lot of information of where we're going next and a lot of those type things, we're trying to keep it because we just know, I know I'm like this, Pastor Barry knows he struggles with this. We sometimes, when you get up here, you think you're going to say what you want to say, and then you forget something or leave something out, and everybody laughs at you later going, well, you said this, but you didn't say this, and then now it makes it look like this. You know, so just to keep it straight, right, we're doing emails so that we can make sure that more than one person's eyes are on it and we can make sure we're getting out the information. So that's my email address. If you didn't get an email, if you would like an email and keep updated, please just shoot me something letting me know that. That would be awesome, and we will include you. Like I said, I can even, you know, forward you on the message from this last week. But just a couple announcements of things going on this week. Pastor Mike Alexander, the men have they're going to see Field of Dreams this Tuesday. So if you'd like more information on that, I'm sure Pastor Mike's been getting some names shout out, but reach out to him about that. But that's this Tuesday that the men are going to see Field of Dreams. And then on this Saturday, this coming Saturday with the ladies on June 22nd, we are going to go to Cappuccino's in O'Fallon. And usually when we do this, hour and 15 minutes, something like that. It's just a time to kind of connect with the ladies. Normally, you know, with here at the church, we were doing ladies' coffee and the word, but with us out having the availability to the church during this time, on Saturdays. We just thought it'd be nice for the ladies to still be able to get together. So if you can make it, again, that would be great. Shoot me an email. If you have my cell phone, shoot me a text message. But let me know this Saturday, 9 o'clock at Cappuccino's in O'Fallon. Please shoot me a text or email and let me know if you'll be able to join us for that. We'd love to have you come. Love to just be able to have that time for the ladies to be able to connect. So welcome, teams, all here. Go ahead and pray over the offering. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time today. Father, we just thank you for the blessings that you have given us in our finances. And Father, we just pray that you will bless this offering. And Father, that you will multiply the efforts of it. Father, that with our leadership, that it will be used with wisdom. Father, we just thank you in your precious name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.